Theodore Roosevelt Sr. was no stranger to childhood suffering. Gifted himself with magnificent health and strength, he overflowed with sympathy for the small, the weak, the lame, and the poor. Every seventh day of his life was dedicated to teaching in mission schools. Long after dark, he would come home after dinner at some such institution as the Newsboys' Lodging House. He had what he called a troublesome conscience. At the time of T.D.'s birth, Theodore Sr. was 27 years old, a partner in the old importing firm of Roosevelt & Son, and already one of the most influential men in New York. Handsome, wealthy, and gregarious, he was at ease with millionaires and paupers, never showing a trace of snobbery. "I can see him now," remembered a society matron years later, "in full evening dress, serving a most generous supper to his newsboys in the lodging house, and later dashing off to an evening party on Fifth Avenue." A photograph taken in 1862 shows deep eyes, leonine features, a glossy beard, and big, sloping shoulders. "He was a large, broad, bright, cheerful man," said his nephew, Emlyn Roosevelt, "deep through with a sense of abundant strength and power." The word power runs like a leitmotif through other descriptions of Theodore Sr. He was a person of inexorable drive. For all his compulsive philanthropy, he was neither sanctimonious nor ascetic. He took an exuberant, masculine joy in life, riding his horse through Central Park as though born in the saddle, exercising with the energy of a teenager, waltzing all night long at society balls. Driving his four-in-hand back home in the small hours of the morning, he rattled through the streets at such a rate that his grooms allegedly fell out at the corners. His son called Theodore Sr. "the best man I ever knew," adding significantly, "but he was the only man of whom I was ever really afraid." In all respects except their intense love for each other, Theodore and Martha Roosevelt were striking opposites. Where he was big and disciplined and manly, Mittie, as she was known, was small, vague, and feminine. He was the archetypal northern burgher, she the southern belle eternal, a lady about whom there always clung a hint of white columns and wisteria bowers. Born and raised in the luxury of a Georgia plantation, Mittie remained, according to her son, entirely unreconstructed until the day of her death. Of her beauty, especially in her youth, she was 23 when T.D. was born, contemporary accounts are unanimous in their praise. Her hair was fine and silky black. Her skin was moonlight white, and in her cheeks there glowed a suggestion of coral. She dressed habitually in white muslin, summer and winter. No dirt, an admirer marveled, ever stopped near her. Her exquisite looks were balanced by exquisite taste. She filled her house with the finest furniture and porcelain, and her need for beauty and quality is said to have strained even the considerable Roosevelt resources. Mittie was also a woman of considerable wit. Her letters show flashes of inventive humor. As a storyteller, especially when recounting what her enraptured children called slave tales, she revealed great gifts of mimicry. From his father, young T.D. inherited the sturdy Dutch character of Claes Martensen van Rozenveld, one of the early settlers of New Amsterdam who stepped ashore sometime in 1649. Old Claes had been a farmer, but subsequent Roosevelts ascended rapidly in the social scale, becoming manufacturers, merchants, engineers, and bankers. From his mother, T.D. acquired several refined French traits. Although her forebears were predominantly Scots, James Bullock of Glasgow emigrated to Charleston in 1729, they had early married into the Huguenot family of Devoe. Mittie passed on to T.D. a certain Gallic volubility. The Bullocks also contributed aristocratic qualities. Whereas old Claes had been a man of the soil, James Bullock was a learned planter. Unlike the Roosevelts, who with two or three exceptions preferred the security of commerce to the glamour of politics, the Bullocks stepped naturally into positions of power. Few Americans surely have been born into such a perfectly balanced home environment as the son of Theodore and Mittie Roosevelt. But then 5 months after his second birthday, Southern cannons fired upon Fort Sumter